Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone out there. Good morning to you all. You are welcome to another exciting edition of Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. It's nice to be back here discussing and exploring unique topics that dwells on our day-to-day activities. I'm your host, Rashida Adetun Oke Olaniyo. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio, and of course, it is open to sponsorship and adverts. Our discussion today, rising use of narcotics among youth, the effects on nation building. Before I move further, and before I introduce my guest who is joining us virtually, let's take a message from this nasheed titled "The Rest of My Life" by Mazin.
I praise Allah for sending me you, my love. You found your home and stay with me, and I'm here with you. Now let me let you know, you've opened my heart. I was always thinking that love was wrong, but everything was changed when you came along. Oh, and there's a couple of words I wanna say. For the rest of my life, I'll be with you. I'll stay by your side, honest and true, to the end of my time. I'll be loving you for the rest of my life. Through days and nights, I'll thank Allah for opening my eyes. Now and forever, I'll be there for you. I know it deep in my heart.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Our guest, who is joining us virtually, a friend of the house, Sheikh Imam Taufik Busawi Abu Labiba. Join me in welcoming Abu Labiba. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah khairan for joining us again. Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busawi is the Imam of and Director of Darishada Islamic Center, Ota Ogun State. He is a Quran tutor of the University, Christian University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. Before I move on to our main topic, I would like to also remind our listeners, that we are in the mental health month, and this topic has to do very related to our mental health as individuals. And that's why it is important for us to address the growing crisis that affects the mental and physical well-being of our youths and the future of our nation. The rising use of narcotics, it is alarming. This troubling trend is tearing apart families and communities, directly impacting the nation building and our collective progress. Obviously, substance abuse doesn't just destroy lives, it derails the potential of our youth, leaving lasting scars on their physical, mental, and spiritual health. According to a Quran verse, which says, "O you who believe, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, stone altars, and diving arrows but deferment from the work of Satan. So avoid it that you may be successful. This can be gotten for Surah 2, Maida, Quran 5, verse 90. This verse highlights that the arm of toxicants and the need to avoid them for the sake of our individual societal well-being is very important. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, every intoxicant is alcohol or drugs, and every alcohol or drug is unlawful. This also makes it clear that any substance that clouds the mind and harms the body is forbidden, emphasizing the need to stay away from all these harmful substances. Therefore, our topic for today is effects of drug abuse on individuals and the nation as a whole. And we will also be discussing the strategies rooted in faith and education and the community support. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio, and we are happy that you are joining us on this conversation. Our phone lines will be open shortly for calls, 07000-917-917. For SMS or WhatsApp, 070-317-565-37. Assalamu alaikum, Abu Labiba, once again.
Assalamu alaikum, assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My first question, can you provide an overview of the current narcotic situation among youth in Nigeria? And which substance are most frequently abused by the young people? What factor contributes to their widespread accessibility?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. All praises be to Allah, beseech his blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those.
Assalamu alaikum. I think we lost his connection there.
Okay, we'll try to.
Okay, he's back.
Talking about narcotics. Narcotics are drugs or substances that affect mood or behavior and is consumed for non-medical purposes, especially the ones sold illegally. Because when we talk about narcotics, they have their medical usage benefits, but the ones sold illegally are referred to as the illegal ones, and they are narcotics, and they are drugs. You know, these are things that blunt the brain activity, and they produce narcosis, that is sleepiness, the person will be sleeping a whole lot. In fact, the word narcotic is derived from the Greek word stupor. And if you understand how stupor, you know, is intoxicating, you know. And it originally referred to a variety of substances that dull the senses and relieve pain. Mostly today we refer narcotic. We define narcotic to be opium derivatives, and they are semi-synthetic substitutes. A more current term for these drugs, which would not bring uncertainty, to reduce the uncertainty regarding what we are referring to specifically, is the word opioid. So, and this, we have examples of these, like heroin. We have some pharmaceutical drugs like codeine, morphine, methadone, and the likes. These are some of the narcotics, the opioids we have. In our locality, they call them different names. We hear things like scoochie. We hear, you know, so many local names used for them. In fact, we see some things like Zobo. Huh? You know, this usual Zobo drink. Uh-huh. You see them in the society. You think you are buying Zobo. Huh? Subhanallah. You are actually consuming narcotics.
Allah.
Being sold majorly in student dominated region with cheap amount, very cheap amount. An innocent child or innocent person will just, out of being naive and the likes, might just get into it, and before you know, the person is under the influence of drugs. It is as serious as that. I think I watched a particular thing sometimes ago where some young ladies were selling these opioids known as narcotics, you know, these drugs, selling them into Milo sachet. Already used Milo sachet, you know, selling them in using, what's it called, iron to seal them, and they are selling them back into the community. You think they are holding Milo beverage?
Imam, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, I think the video went viral, but it will avoid not mentioning brand. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So, they use most of these things just to deceive people. To deceive people. And it's making a whole lot of youths come into, what's it called, the use of narcotics nowadays. So these are some of the things that contribute to the widespread of it, because some people are hiding under the usually known things, things that are easily accessible for people that are already known, their day-to-day use, things that they use day-to-day. They convert either their wraps or their color, they hide under this just to spread it amongst amongst youths. In fact, what's it called? This, what's it that young children eat? Forgotten the name. You see students eating that, but they have added, what's it called? These narcotics, these opioids, they have added them to it. So you think you are taking noodles or what have you,
but
you see them being you are under drugs. So these are some of the challenges we have at the moment. Some even taking beans and adding them to it in student dominated areas. So it's a situation now that you need to be very careful with what you eat. You need to be very careful with the gathering you go, going to the party of a friend of a friend, things like that. You don't know what would constitute what you will be served at those places. So these are the just a little overview of the widespread of narcotics and other related substances in our community today.
Just a reminder again, Imam, I know that this topic is very sensitive. At the same time, we want to try as much as possible not to mention names of any brand of sorts. So my next question, what are some of the immediate and long-term effects of narcotics use on the young person's mental and physical health?
Well, narcotics kills someone mentally and physically. It drives youth into crime. They comfortably engage in crime without any show of remorse. You see people killing others without any show of remorse, because their eye on substance, their eye on drugs. So it affects their mental stability, their mental strength, and as well their physical health, because it damages a lot of things in their body, thereby struggling with health, their lungs, and so many other things, and bringing about youths dying young. So these are some of the effects of narcotics. In fact, it reduces productivity generally. Intellectual productivity, physical productivity, and so many other forms of productivity. It reduces this in our youths or whoever that is engaging in consuming any of these things.
Hello?
Now.
Okay. Jazakallah khairan, Imam. Looking at all this that you have said, how does the drug abuse affect the young person's ability to contribute positively to society? And what are the guidelines that Islam has provided in maintaining their personal health and responsibilities?
This is a serious issue. In fact, let me pick it this way. Islamically, there's something we call the principles of Sharia, Maqasid al-Shari'iyya. One of the five major principles of Sharia is Hifz al-Aql, protection of the intellect. The intellect must be protected. The rules of Sharia, the laws of Allah, guide, you see them surrounding all these five things: protection of the deen, protection of life, protection of wealth, protection of the intellect, and I can't remember the fifth one, I remember, inshallah, I'll mention that, but the major thing here is protection of the intellect, and the fifth one is protection of lineage. Protection of lineage, Hifz al-Nasl. All these are responsibilities of any government anywhere in the world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole individual governing our lives, He has given us laws in this regard to protect all these. And all sub-governments in our location on the surface of the earth here must also have their laws in line with all these, protection of the intellect. Anything that can affect the intellect of mankind should be declared unlawful, should be blocked off, and rules, punishment should be placed around it to scare people away from it. Islamically, it is stated that kullu muskirin haram, everything that intoxicates you is prohibited. And Allah stated directly in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 29. Allah said, wa la taqtulu anfusakum. This is a clear, direct statement from Allah. Wa la taqtulu anfusakum, do not kill yourselves. Do not take your lives. Do not engage in anything that will hinder your progress intellectually, that will hinder your progress physically, hinder your progress health-wise, in any way, anything that can kill you. Avoid them, because what? Inna Allaha kana bikum rahima. Allah is surely merciful to you. Allah is merciful to you, is still merciful to you, and will still be merciful to you. So why would you be interested in killing yourself? Why would you be interested in reducing your value? Because this is not what God wants you to do. This is not the essence of your creation. So why would you engage in that? Don't kill yourself intellectually. Don't kill yourself, spiritually. Don't kill yourself psychologically, emotionally, physically, and everything. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that in every situation, this is fundamental. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. You must take precautions. You must always take precautions to protect yourself with maximum form of protection. Our security intellectually, our security health-wise, physically, psychologically, is paramount. And Islam has encouraged us to watch this and guard this jealously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 195, Allah said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Anything that can bring destruction upon you, anything that can bring destruction upon you, then you have to stay away from it. It's a direct statement. If you engage in this thing, it's likely to lead to your short-term destruction or long-term destruction, then Islam says you should avoid it completely. The verse you quoted while commencing the session, you quoted Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 90. It didn't end in verse 90. Verse 90 actually gave us the ruling on intoxicants. But the source of it, the effect of it, Allah mentioned it in verse 91 and verse 92. Allah said, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يُوْكِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ وَيَسُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ السَّلَامِ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Allah said, the intent of shaytan, أَنْ يُوْكِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ, is for it to achieve through intoxicants to bring enmity and hatred amongst you. You will never like yourselves. Go and watch areas where crimes are being committed, where people are treated unjustly, where people are treated badly, lives are being taken, people are being injured. You will notice mostly there is presence of substance usage. Narcotics, drugs, opiums, opioids, all these things are being used to perpetrate evil. So Shaitan intends to bring enmity and hatred amongst you and make you stay away from the remembrance of Allah and Salah. And Allah said, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Aren't you ready to stay away from this? Aren't you ready to desist? This is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khairan. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are now open for calls 07000-917-917. And for SMS or WhatsApp, 07031756537. Imam, you have explained, you have told us how narcotics affects the youths individually. Now, how does it hinder them? Or let me say, how does it hinder the national development? And what does it mean to Nigeria's future?
It has a great effect, my sister. Because no country grows or thrives without positive productivity. There's no country that will grow or thrive without any positive productivity. And if narcotics hinders the productivity, positive productivity of the youths academically, you know, economically, intellectually, physically, and all forms of their productivity, any form of productivity you could get from them, then it means the country cannot grow. No country becomes successful with high level of crime and insecurity. You know? The moment substance usage is common amongst the youths, then there will be high rates of crime and there will be high rate of insecurity. You will see situations where we've read several news where people will, abduct or, kidnap people. In fact, after abducting them or kidnapping them, they had already killed them and still request money from those that, from the family of the abductee. You know? So these are crimes. insecurity, and no country becomes successful with this, because it will scare investors away from such community. So it's a big issue for the country when the use of substance usage, and narcotics, drugs, opioids, and everything grow within such community. In fact, there is a popular saying that youths are the future. Youths are the leaders of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But once the youths are affected intellectually, psychologically, and all of you, then what does that mean? Mm-hmm. There is no future. It means there is no future for such a country. If the youths are the future, and the future now, in position of the youths, are being affected intellectually, psychologically. Now, their productivity is being affected. There is no trust in them that, okay, can we trust you with leadership? Can we trust you with this? No intellect to handle this anymore. What does that mean? There's no future. There's no future for such a country. May Allah guide us.
Amen. Imam, we have said there's no future if these things affect the youths of the society. We have said that the youths themselves need to be very careful. Then, what are the roles of the schools and religious institutions and the media? What role are they playing in educating these youths about the dangerous, the dangers of the substances?
There is need for proper sensitization. Strong, to be precise, strong sensitizations to people. You see, there is this delusion we give ourselves in trying to sensitize people. We tell them that if you drink, you don't drive. For example, if you drink, you don't drive. Why should that person drink at all? Why should he drink at all? That's not a proper sensitization. Don't drink at all. Because if the person drinks, and probably he feels that he doesn't need to drive at that moment, he's drunk, and the situation warranted, an emergency came up, and he needs to drive, he has already drunk. The issue is don't drink at all, and that is what Islam is saying. Stay away from all these. Not that we are allowing it at some points and disallowing it at some other points. That's not a proper sensitization. We need to give, the media need to give out, roll out proper sensitization. And at this point, I think the National Orientation Agency of our dear country needs to do a lot of work in making people know the effect of this on them, and the local way of addressing these things, local way of referring to them.
Assalamu alaikum.
Things called locally, not the international needed in the local sensitization. We need the local way people refer to them. So let people know that this thing is this. This thing is this. And how they could be avoided. Then in schools, before students are admitted, most especially our institutions, because this is where this is rampant, there is need for schools to also include brain tests in their requirement for admission. They need to include brain tests, know the kind of child, the kind of student they are admitting. If the child tests positively to narcotic usage or drug abuse or substance usage, then such child should be recommended by the school for therapy. For therapy, you know, there should be a body that will take up the situation from the school from there. And not just admit these students in the school, admit them alongside other innocent children, innocent students that would not know anything, they will mingle with this set of people and they will get influenced. So the school has a whole lot to do in this, in determining who are the ones that are used to substance usage in those they want to admit. It's not just about JAMB and WAEC results and the likes alone. We need to go deep into this as well. And the ones found wanting should be recommended for therapy and the likes. Then as for religious institutions, we should stop just talking about prosperity. Prosperity, how you get rich and rich. I think that's what a lot of religious sermons now are containing. And this is not good for us. Because people are going in search of prosperity and richness in various forms, unwanted forms. You need to tell people how they will be morally upright, how to avoid crimes. It is when the society is devoid of crimes that you talk about being rich and you'll be tranquil with whatever richness you have or whatever wealth you have with you. So we need to start teaching people, we need to emphasize on avoidance of crime and things that promote crime amongst people, like substance usage. Religious institutions need to emphasize this more. Make people know the effect of this on them and how to avoid them. This is quite very, very important in educating our youths, most especially, and the parents, because a lot of parents are even, you know, they are very ignorant of this. Probably because the age and time they grew is different from the age and time their children are growing. So a lot of parents are not active parents. They are passive. They are passive in their parenting and not active. So they leave everything. That's the way these children are doing. We don't even understand them. As long as it involves your children, it involves you, you must understand. So these are some of the things we need to look into in sensitization.
Jazakallah khairan, Imam. I will take you back to the school, but before then, let's take a short break by Said Adam, trusting Allah.
It's life as you know, you reap what you sow. And when you do good, Allah will protect you and stop you falling down. Allah, we surrender, 'cause He knows all, no compromise. Hears your laugh and feels your cry, He is there all the time. Make dua, praise Allah, our iman will grow. Inshallah, we will go far, there's a long way to go. We praise a lot, it's from the heart, love will keep us whole. And when you're feeling down, you know the way to go. Allah, yeah, Allah, yeah. You know I feel it in my soul. Allah, yeah, Allah, yeah. You know I feel it in my soul. Ya Allah, you're everywhere we go.
Allahu Akbar. You sow what you reap. And we need to trust in Allah. Well, how do you trust in Allah when you don't even know where you are going to? If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are still open for calls. 07000-917-917. And for SMS or WhatsApp, 070-317-56537. Imam, before we went on break, I said I would take you back to the schools. You mentioned our institution. Does that mean that the secondary and the primary are left out of these substances? Or does that mean that the primary and the secondary don't have any role that it should also play?
Well, they all have roles. I only said most, especially in the institutions, because it is rampant there. It's not that it is the secondary school and the primary school is devoid of all this. Not even in this age and time where we expose our students, our children, unnecessarily. We give them unnecessary exposure all in the name of we are in the 21st century. They get exposed to different contents. Schools and parents need to be aware of something. Our children, our students need only to be 21st century.
Network. Imam, I guess what Imam was trying to say is that as parents, we should know our children very well. We should not say because they are very young, they don't know what is happening.
What's it called?
Okay, it's back.
Parents giving the smartphones to young children, all in the name of loving them, distracting them, you know? And you see those children going into contents they are not meant to go into. So thereby seeing people getting into drugs, drug abuse, substance usage, and the like, and they want to try it out. They want to try it out. All in the name of watching films and watching this and that, a lot of children have been exposed to wrongly. So all we need for our children, for schools and parents, we need them to be 21st century aware and not 21st century engrossed. So this is quite very important. That they need to be, yes, computer literate, this and that, blah, 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 but not being engrossed in them. So secondary schools, primary schools need to watch their exposure of that of those kids, those students, to unpalatable things online, all in the name of we want them to be, to get used to the 21st century system or thereabout.
Jazakallah, Karen. Now you have mentioned parents, schools. How can these parents, or let me say their guardians also, how can they identify the early signs of drug use? And how do they prevent addiction in their children?
Parents need to be active parents, like I said, and not passive. And parenting is a full-time job. It's not just about saying, I am a daddy, I'm so-so person's father, I'm so-so person's mother. It's not about title. It's about responsibilities. A lot of parents today are only being parents through titles and not being parents through being responsible for what Allah has placed under their care. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun 'an ra'iyatihi. You are all shepherds and you'll be queried upon your flocks. Regarding your flocks, Allah will query you regarding the children he has kept under your custody, be it they are your children directly or they are not your children directly. As long as they are under your guidance, under your watch, then you'll be accountable to Allah regarding this. You need, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in such a way that when children are coming to this world, they don't come with a specific language. They are devoid of any language. Why? Because the children will have to pick the language of their instructor, their parent, or their guardian, for it to be easy for the parent to guide the child. So you will not say that, oh, because we have various languages, I speak Spanish, my child speak, English, and that's why we don't relate well. Your child is to pick your language because you are the first instructor of that child. So it's quite very important to give good instructions to this child right from childhood. You watch what your child see, what your child hears and what your child thinks of. And what constitutes what they think of is what they see and what they hear constitute what they think of. And what they think of, process in their minds, constitutes what they give, what they bring out in action. So parents are very responsible for this. They need to watch what their children are seeing and what their children hear in every location they find themselves. And also, should any parent notice strange signs in their children, don't keep quiet. Watch out for strange signs. A child that is not used to sleeping all day, and you see that the child starts sleeping all day, then there's an issue. You need to speak out. You need to take proactive action. You need to be proactive. Then also, parents need to watch a child that is not used to being in seclusion, and all of a sudden, always wanting to be in seclusion is an issue. These are strange signs in children that parents need to watch out for. Your child should not, there's nothing that will make your child lock himself in a room and say that I'm reading. Why would you read where there is nobody? Why can't you read in a location, in the dining room, or a reading location that has been created where people can see that you are truly reading? Because a child that has locked himself or herself up in a room may be doing so many other things that nobody could account for. You see them on social media carrying out a lot of things. Some of them are doing them in their right under the roof of their parents, but their parents are ignorant of this. They don't know. Because the children are under lock saying that they are reading, but they are doing something else. So also, parents need to watch the friends. They need to know who are the friends of your kids. Some of us cannot mention only one or two of the friends of our kids. We don't know their names. We must be able to know where our kids are every minute, every now and then. Where are they? What are they doing? Who are they interacting with? For those of us that have our kids in our institutions, we need to visit them regularly, unannounced. A lot of parents never visit their children in our institution. They feel they are alone. And they are free to do whatever they want to do. Before they know anything, the game is over. So we need to visit them unannounced, time to time. Where are they staying? Who are they mingling with? You know, because you need to make them know wherever they are, you need to be there. You are their responsibility. You need to watch over them. You need to be mindful of their security. So wherever they are, you have to be there. Then the moment you notice anything, quickly enroll your child for therapy. Don't hide it. Don't hide it at all. Before dopamine, you know, takes charge. And that's what is responsible for addiction in us. Once dopamine takes charge and addiction comes in, it becomes more difficult. So take them for therapy, rehabilitation, both spiritually, psychologically, and the likes. So these are roles of parents. And parents should allow kids, their children, to find, you know, find confidence in them.
Okay.
Be able to approach them for discussion at any time. Because these are some of the things that foster wrong things in some children. They can't talk to their parents. And they chose confidence outside, and those ones decided to mislead them. They led them wrongly because there was no listening here for them at home. Parents, we need, as much as we are concerned about our career, we need to also be concerned about our future. Our future are these kids, and we need to pay good attention to them right at home. It's not about money. We have given them what to eat. Everything is at home. They have enough money with them. In fact, exposing them to unnecessary exposure to currency, to money at a tender age, makes them go into things like this. Because what do they need money for? So these are some of the challenges, you know. Because of time, I can't really go deep into the aspect of parenting, but it is the most important aspect of it.
Exactly, now, Karen. That will also lead me to my next question. What's your message for the youth that are struggling with addiction, or those ones that attempted to experiment the drugs? And is there any way that their faith in Allah can help them overcome these challenges? I know you have mentioned therapy. So, how can the faith in Allah also help them overcome the challenges?
That's a very good one. Any child struggling with addiction, any child tempted to experiment this, know something that you will be fine. You can overcome this with ease. One of the things you need to watch is your company. You need to change those you mingle with. Your peer pressure is having high effect on you. Change location. Change your company. If possible, if you can relocate, please relocate for a while. So that you can get away from the company of those that are influencing you badly. This has a lot of root in Islam. Changing location for the sake of positive change. It is rooted in Islam. Also, you need to be especially selective about where you go and functions you attend. Any function that you are not directly related to, you don't have any direct relation with the person in question, the convener of the function, and you cannot say anything about the morality of the convener, please avoid such gathering. The gathering of the friend is not for you. Because you cannot give account of what is going on there. The gathering of just a classmate that you can't give account of his moral standing, of his, activities, please avoid them. It will not help you. My dear brother, my dear sister, that might be going through such situation, you need to get closer to God. You need to get closer to your Creator. In fact, I need to tell you that you need to give value to your life. You should know that it is whatever value you give to your life that remains the value of your life. A particular product may have different prices at different locations. It may be sold at a particular amount here and another bigger amount in another location. Nothing changes. It's just the value that has been given to it. Know the value for your life. And for you to give good value for your life, you need four things to watch over. Number one is to first ensure, know the essence of your creation. Why has God created you? Do you think that God created you just in vain? No, God did not create you in vain. He created you for a purpose. And what's the purpose of creation? Allah also answered that. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ لِجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created you solely for his worship. Every other thing is secondary. Live your life to worship Allah. That's the soul, that is the essence of your creation. My dear brother, my dear sister, set goals for yourself. Set goals to give value to your life. That's not the end of the road. Set goals for yourself. Daily goals, weekly goals, monthly goals, yearly goals. Avoid time wasters. Avoid procrastination. Avoid spending your whole time on your phone. Avoid the people, those that do not remember Allah. Avoid them. Allah said it in Surah Al-Kahf. Avoid anyone that follows his personal whims. He has no guide. It's only whatever comes to his mind he does. He has no guide in the way of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Avoid such individual. Such an individual that is so carefree. His life is meaningless to him. Avoid such an individual, my dear brother and sister. And lastly, my dear brother and sister, under this, live your life for Allah. And with all this, it will help you under faith to overcome those challenges of yours.
Jazakallah khairan, Imam. In 2 minutes, I'll be combining two different questions. And the first one is, what successful rehabilitation programs or strategies can help young people recover and rebuild their lives after addiction? That's number one. And the other one is, what is the most urgent action as a nation, especially the youth, that they must take to address this substance crisis and secure their future?
2 minutes. To manage time as well, I think the first of your last two questions, I've addressed that in they giving value to their lives, and that those four things they could do to give value to their life. So whoever that is trying to rebuild the life after addiction should stick solid with this. And they should be closer to the Quran. Read the Quran every day. Let Allah speak with you every day. No matter how busy you are, let the Quran be part of your life. And not just reading it, understand the meaning, the message right in there. It shapes your life for you and gives you a very good direction of what to do. Lastly, your second question, you said, talking about how the nation should address
the most urgent action.
Yes, I think we need to have good policies regarding this substance usage. There should be good policies, strong policies on them by the government, and also we need to have good judicial system. We must be able to trust our judicial system. It's not that it should be a wee thing. Those that, you see, there is reason for establishing judicial system, and it is to end crime and shy people away from engaging in crime. Nobody is interested in punishing anybody. But once some people do it and they are duly punished under the law, then it will scare people away. But if you have a system where anybody can get away with whatever he does, then it's always a problem. We might not get ourselves out of it. We need to have strong trust in our judicial system, a very good one to be precise.
Yeah, I know that in one of the two questions that I asked for a successful rehabilitation program. Can you mention one or two programs that some of these youths can also venture into?
Okay. If it is faith-based, they need to enroll themselves into learning the deen. This would give them good direction and good understanding of everything around them, including their life entirely. So enrolling into, understanding the deen, studying Islam, makes them understand, because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even addressed and rehabilitated the companions when they were in their ignorant period and they accepted Islam.
Okay.
So Allah rehabilitated them with this Islamic training that was given to them, and they became better people in the society.
Okay.
So they're enrolling into programs that would teach them about the deen would go a long way in addressing this in their lives after addiction, and also meeting with psychiatrists, psychologists, to also give them professional approach to things they need to watch and, you know, do afterwards would also help them a lot in overcoming all this process.
Jazakallah Khairan, Imam Abu Labiba, thank you very much for the insights on this topic. Matrimony goes to WFM and MPAC for this program. A big thank you to our engineer Timmy and my producer Blessing, and to our esteemed listeners for joining us today. We say thank you. Coming to an end of this episode, I hope we are able to shed more light on the serious issue of narcotics among our youths and its damaging effects on both individual lives and our society as a whole. It is important to know that the future of our nation depends on the well-being and potential of our young people, and we must come together to protect them from the grip of addiction, just as Imam has said. Remember that Islam teaches us to stay away from anything that harms our body and mind. And it does not only affect us, but also weakens the foundation of our community. Imam has also told us that it is our collective responsibility as parents, educators, leaders, and members of the Ummah to guide our youth towards healthier, more productive paths. We also need to be vigilant and supportive, offering the help that they need before it comes too late. Jazakallah Khairan for everyone for turning into everyday Muslim. Until next time, may Allah continue to protect us from harm and guide our youth towards a bright, drug-free future. I am Rashida Adetun Okeolanyo. Signing off. Until next time, same station, Masalam, and enjoy the rest of your weekend with this Nasheed by Mazin, titled Peace Be Upon You.
Masi Sondele, Masi Sondele, ah, Kila no kolo, yelele.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah.